guest tonight is one of the most famous orchestra leaders in the world, Mr. Tommy Dorsey. But first,
Reel One, Portrait of a Strange Football Story. Tomorrow out in California, the University of California battles the University of Southern California in the West Coast's most important football game. And thinking of Southern California and football reminds me of one of the great sports stories, a story of a Southern California football team. This story begins back in 1931 when Southern California was playing Notre Dame. Notre Dame that year had a great team. And at halftime, when the Southern California team came back into its dressing room, Notre Dame was leading 14-0, and apparently Notre Dame had that game won. But the Southern California coach was a man named Howard Jones, and he was far from licked. Quietly, Howard Jones began to talk to his team. When suddenly there was a terrific commotion just outside the dressing room door. Howard Jones went to that door, yanked it open, and there stood a very young girl, her face red with the excitement from her fight to get into that Southern California dressing room. And before Howard Jones could stop her, that girl was in the dressing room.
Listen, Dave, never mind who I am, but I've got a kid brother who's lying in a hospital in California, listening to this game. He's sick. Very sick. He may not get well, but he thinks Southern California is the greatest school in the world. Don't let him down. He may not live to hear another of your games. Please.
The players were dumbfounded. A moment later, they went back out on that playing field. Perhaps it was the girl. Perhaps it was fate. But whatever the reason, Southern California scored a stunning upset that day as they came from behind in the closing moments of that game to win. That night, had you been in Howard Jones' office, you'd have seen him write a letter. A letter that read, "Dear Miss, they told me you were a great young actress when I hired you, but I never realized how great you were until I saw your performance in our dressing room today. You won that game for us, and I'll always be grateful for your cooperation. Sincerely yours, Howard Jones." You see, that young girl who'd come busting into the dressing room had actually been a carefully rehearsed scheme to win that game, a scheme that had worked. The years went by after that. Wise old Howard Jones, coach of Southern California, never forgot the incident. 7 years later, 1938, once again Notre Dame was undefeated, and once again Notre Dame was getting ready to play Southern California. Howard Jones was desperate. He knew no ordinary method to win, and then he remembered the little girl he'd hired to inspire his team 7 years before. If he could only find her, it might work again. He did find her, and she agreed to help him again. That's why, on the following Saturday at halftime during the Notre Dame Southern California football game, there was a commotion once again outside the Southern California dressing room door. Acting surprised once again, the Southern California coach opened the door as the girl again ran into the center of the room.
Listen, Dave, you don't know me, but never mind who I am. I've got a brother who's lying sick in a hospital in California, listening to this game. He's sick. Very sick. He may not get well. And he thinks Southern California is the greatest university in the world.
Did that trick work a second time? Well, that night, screaming headlines told the story.
Get your papers here. Read all about it. Unbeaten Notre Dame is finally beaten. Southern California wins 13-0. Southern Cal beats Notre Dame 13-0.
And so Southern California had again beaten Notre Dame, just as they had 7 years before. All because Howard Jones had hired a clever little actress to put on a dramatic scene, first in 1931, and then again in 1938. Both times she'd brought him victory. But maybe you'd like to know who she was. Do you remember in the beginning of this story how Howard Jones wanted a youngster who was a good actress? Well, in order to be sure that he was getting a good actress, he went to the most famous acting family in the world and borrowed their talented daughter. No one recognized her then, for she was unknown. But today, that little girl is recognized as one of the great stars of Hollywood, a truly fine actress. For that little girl, who twice inspired Southern California to beat Notre Dame, is now the lovely movie star, Miss Diana Barrymore. Portrait of a great actress. Reel 2. This program is presented in Cooperation with the drug, cosmetic, and allied industries by the Colgate-Palmolive Peach Company, makers of Colgate Freshless Shave Cream, on behalf of the Veterans Information Program. You sport fans know that every Saturday out there in the football field, returned veterans, including many men who were seriously wounded, men who were former German or Jap prisoners of war, have come back in a big way, playing grueling, competitive football, asking no quarter and getting none. That's the way our veterans want it. Just give them a chance to make good, and brother, they'll take it. Remember, our boys have learned plenty in the service. They've learned self-reliance. These fellows are glad to be civilians. Let's not make them ashamed of that word, civilian, by complaining about the little difficulties that we've had while they've been away. Sure, you want to help them for the tremendous job they've done for you, but use your horse sense about how you help them. Don't just sit back and wish them good luck. Take the time to learn something about the employment opportunities in your community, right in your own company. And be prepared to give a hint of practical help. Your veteran is a regular guy, so treat him like one. Reel 3. Colgate's camera close-up of... Hear that trombone? That's the most famous trombone in America, where it's being played by Tommy Dorsey, who's appearing with his grand band at New York's famous 400 Club. And here he is in person, ladies and gentlemen, the sentimental gentleman of swing, in person, Mr. Tommy Dorsey.
Good evening, Bill. Bill, instead of the usual interview tonight, may I tell a sports story?
By all means, go ahead, Tommy.
All right, William. Many years ago, there was a baseball player named Sid Farrar with the old Philadelphia team in the National League. In those days, baseball players didn't earn much money. So when the Philadelphia baseball fans found out that Sid Farrar had a little daughter who wanted a musical education, but he couldn't afford to give it to her, they decided that they would raise the necessary money, and they did. These Philadelphia baseball fans raised this money by saving tinfoil and selling it. And with the money they raised from the sale of this tinfoil, they did give Sid Farrar's daughter a musical education. And she went on to become one of the greatest singers the Metropolitan Opera has ever had. For this girl, who got her start thanks to baseball fans, became the immortal singing star, Geraldine Farrar.
That is amazing, Tommy.
Hold the phone, Bill. There's more to the story. My father was one of those baseball fans, and he was so impressed by the fact that a big league baseball player could not afford to give his daughter a musical education, that he made my brother Jimmy and me give up trying to be ball players and made us both take up music. And that's why we became musicians.
So baseball is not only responsible for the immortal singing star Geraldine Farrar, but baseball is also responsible for the two famous band leaders, Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey. Thanks so much. Good luck and good night, Tommy Dorsey. Reel 4. Profile of a rivalry. Just a few minutes ago, we told you the story of how a young girl beat Notre Dame in a football game. That was the story of Notre Dame's great football rivalry with Southern California. Now let me tell you another story as told to me of another Notre Dame football rivalry. For this is the story of Notre Dame's traditional football rivalry with Army. Tomorrow, Notre Dame meets Army in the nation's biggest football game. But behind that game tomorrow is a story that begins many years ago in a tiny Midwestern town where a boxing tournament was being staged. In this boxing tournament, there were two amateur prize fighters, one who fought under the name of Frankie Brown, the other who fought under the name of Ike Wilson. And these two amateur prize fighters, Frankie Brown and Ike Wilson, put on quite a boxing exhibition that night, for both of these boys were determined to become professional prize fighters. After their fight was over, the man who had refereed their fight invited both of these youngsters to have dinner with him, and both boys accepted that refereed invitation. It was during this dinner that the referee said,
"You boys fought a good fight tonight. I ought to know since I was the referee. But let me tell you one thing. Boxing holds no future for either of you. Both of you are young enough to forget about boxing and get an education. An education will do you both far more good than becoming prize fighters."
Both Frankie Brown and Ike Wilson listened to that referee, for they knew who he was and they respected his judgment. And so it was that a referee at a boxing tournament changed the lives of two youngsters. For both Frankie Brown and Ike Wilson took that referee's advice, gave up prize fighting, and went to college. Frankie Brown went to Notre Dame, where he dropped his ring name of Frankie Brown and became famous under his real name, which was Newt Rockne. And Ike Wilson, the other boy, he too went to college. He went to West Point, where he became famous under his real name, which is Dwight Eisenhower. At their respective colleges, both of these boys, Eisenhower and Rodney, went out for football. Rodney made the Notre Dame team, but Eisenhower broke his leg in a game up at West Point, and he had to give it up. In 1913, when West Point had an open date on its football schedule, it was Newt Rodney at Notre Dame who wrote to his old friend Dwight Eisenhower at Army to see if their two teams couldn't meet, and they did meet that year. And that was the beginning of the great Army-Notre Dame football game, which have been played every year since then. But this friendship between Rodney and Eisenhower did more than that. It also cost Newt Rodney his life. For in flying westward in 1930, Rodney changed his course to go by way of Kansas to see his old friend. And in Kansas, Newt Rodney's plane crashed and Rodney was killed. So you see, Newt Rodney's career began in Kansas when he met Eisenhower and ended in Kansas years later when he was on his way back to see his old friend. Tomorrow, once again, Notre Dame will meet Army in the nation's biggest football game. A football rivalry, according to the legend, that might never have started but for a prize fight held many years ago in Kansas. A prize fight in which a kindly referee took Rodney and Eisenhower aside after their fight and talked both boys into going to college. Hence, if it hadn't been for that referee, the world would have never known Newt Rodney or Dwight Eisenhower. And if it hadn't been for that referee, we would never have had the Army-Notre Dame football game. But maybe you'd be interested in knowing who that referee was. As the story goes, he was formerly the heavyweight champion of the world. His name was John L. Sullivan. Profile of a legend. Reel 5. Charles F. McCarthy.
This message is specially for the friends and relatives of returned servicemen. Folks, if you'll just let your common sense tell you what to do, you're going to make everything a lot simpler and easier. Here are a couple of rules. 1, don't strain, be natural. Rule 2, take your cue from him. If he wants to talk, he'll talk. If he doesn't want to, don't nag him. Just remember this. Our men have adapted themselves to a lot of tougher propositions than becoming a civilian. So if you'll give them a chance, they'll come through fine. And if you see a veteran with a physical handicap, treat it as a matter of course. If you do, it'll help him too. And now back to Bill Stern.
Reel 6. Colgate Candid Camera catches the story behind the story. Hollywood, California. The football players at Oxnard High School in California are so fed up with their girlfriends swooning over Van Johnson that every football player on that team, so help me, has dyed his hair a bright red. And that's the 3-0 mark for tonight. We've been broadcasting tonight from New York City. We're in New York to broadcast tomorrow's football game between Notre Dame and Army, which will be heard only over this network. Next Friday night, as usual, we'll be back same time, same station, with another edition of the Colgate Shave Cream Sports Newsreel. Our guest next Friday evening will be one of Hollywood's most photogenic stars, Miss Jinx Falkenberg. So be sure and be with us next Friday night at our usual time when we bring you as our guest the lovely movie star, Jinx Falkenberg. See you then. And until then, I'll be seeing you on the screen in the News of the Day newsreel at your favorite Lowe's or Associated Theaters. Now until the same time next Friday night, this is Bill Stern wishing you all a good, good night.
Bill Stern, the Colgate Shave Cream Man, is on his way. Bill Stern, the Colgate Shave Cream Man, had lots to say. He told you tales of sports, he rolls the inside dope, he really knows. So listen in next Friday night. C-O-L-G-A-T-E.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.